Stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Center for American Progress Swing State Voting Report 2 p.m. conference call. Just a reminder, today's call is being recorded, and at this time, it is my pleasure to turn the conference over to Josh Field. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you so much, and thank you all for joining the call. My name is Josh Field. I'm one of the authors of this report, and I'm the Deputy Director of Legal Progress at the Center for American Progress. We're really excited about this report. Because we decided that we needed to spend a lot more focus on the fact that the administration of elections is largely delegated to officials in the more than 3,000 counties or localities in the United States. We find that often voting and election administration is often talked about on the state level. The reality that people know on the ground is that the experience can vary significantly from county to county. This report really focuses on what exactly those discrepancies are from county to county and the different experience that voters can have, even though the fact that they may live in the same state. So using county-level data, our report provides a statistical analysis and ranking of how the most populous counties and the most hotly contested states perform for voter accessibility. Our report shows which counties perform well and also those that perform poorly for a number of key factors that impact the voting process. Generally, the factors that we looked at for this report and that we judged each county or locality on is voter turnout, the overall voter registration rate, the rate of registered voters that were removed from the polls, the voter rolls, I should say, the provisional ballots that were cast, the provisional ballots that were rejected, and the absentee ballots rejected. That was what we looked at. I will make a note, since we're talking about Georgia, that we did not factor in and did not deduct any points, I guess you could say, from Georgia on provisional ballots rejected. And the reason why we didn't do that is because the data that we relied upon was data that was provided by the states to the Election Assistance Commission, and Georgia did not provide that data and did not make it available on their website. But for the other factors, we did factor those in, and we think it provides a very clear picture of what was going on in the different counties in Georgia. So let me talk a little bit about how we came up with these rankings. We compared each of the counties' performance on these factors that I mentioned against the state average. So the rankings were determined by how far outside the norm, either positive or negative, the counties fell. This essentially identified outlier counties, and it raised the question of why these counties stand out as being so different from their state average. We will be the first ones to say, and we say it many times in the report, that some of these things, there's a very valid and legitimate reason. There are legal reasons and valid reasons for a county to issue a provisional ballot or to remove voters from the rolls. But what this does is, by comparing counties to one another, it brings up the outliers, so people can start asking questions on why a specific county was so different from another. So let's get into Georgia, and let's get into the details of what we found in Georgia. In Georgia, the three counties with the worst election performance results were Dooley, and I may butcher the pronunciation on this, Lowndes, and Telfair counties. Dooley County performed poorly on several factors. Of the counties in Georgia that we analyzed, Dooley had the second worst voter registration rate in the state, the fourth worst voter turnout, and the fifth worst rate of absentee ballots rejected. It also had the eighth worst rate of voters removed from the polls. Telfair County had the lowest registration rate in the state and also had the third lowest voter turnout rate and rate of voters removed from the polls. Lowndes County had the dubious honor of having the highest rate of provisional ballots cast in the state. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because it actually issued those provisional ballots at a rate more than 10 times higher than the state average. So what we need to do is start looking and asking questions on why a county like that would be so remarkably different than the state average. We know that data isn't everything. And our report, we admit, is absolutely data-based, but we think is a very important start to a conversation and looking deeper into what the potential issues may be. We hope that our report and the data within it can be used to arm civil rights advocates, elections officials, citizens, policymakers, and calling for more changes in our election process that reduces barriers to voting and ensures that everyone will have equal access to voting, regardless of where they live. And on that note, we're very privileged to have two folks from the state of Georgia, the folks on the ground that can use this data and use it to effectuate change. I'm going to first introduce Helen Butler, who is the executive director of the Coalition for the People's Agenda in Georgia. And I'd like to hand it off to her. And then after that, we're going to hear from Ronnie Mosley, who is a voting rights advocate in Georgia. So, Helen, please take it away.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad to be a part of this, and thank the Center for American Progress for doing this study. And it certainly will be very valuable to us as advocates on the line, because when you talk about looking at the problems we experienced on Election Day with things that are happening with the 159 counties in Georgia, it certainly helps us focus. Voter registration, if you look at the rate of voter registration, that tells us with those problems that we experienced on Election Day for the people not being processed timely and therefore having to be given provisional ballots, that tells you, that's what gives you an idea of what has happened. Also, in terms of absentee ballot, the rate that you did there also goes hand in hand with us knowing on the ground that a lot of people requested absentee ballots but never received those ballots. So that helps us to take a look at what we can do at, from an advocate standpoint, to actually get there. But poll workers who aren't trained in how to handle people tells us a little bit about those provisional ballots and how they were rejected. That certainly will help us really to understand and to hone in on the counties with the largest problems. And we've certainly experienced a lot of problems in our election administration with having 159 different people administering the election process. So this will help us to sort of get uniformity to see what are the exact problems, why the registrations aren't processed timely in order to be able for people to vote in a normal ballot and not have to vote provisionally. And I can tell you, Ronnie will be able to talk about experiences, especially with the young group, having that problem itself in Georgia with the 2012 election cycle. But those are some of the things that we can use to help us to do our work better, to really not only look at maybe is there a system problem and how do we correct that system problem, but to help us to hone in on those counties that are creating the problem.
Thank you so much, Helen. And Ronnie, and after Ronnie's done, we will open it up to some questions. Ronnie?
Great. Such a huge honor to be with CAP once again. And I want to share with you guys a little bit about my story. And surely I didn't expect for it to happen as a voting rights activist, someone who went out and to help register students all across state of Georgia and the city of Atlanta. But in 2008, I could not vote in a presidential election because I was not of age. Never did I expect to have any complications in 2012. So I arrived at my polling precinct on Morehouse College campus at about 9 a.m. on November 6, 2012. And after waiting in a long line, I presented my identification credentials and completed my form, only to be told I was not in the system on the electors list. Now, I knew this was not true because I had checked my registration status day after day using the Georgia Secretary of State My Voter page. The poll manager, Ms. Robinson, advised me to give a call to Fulton County government, and after calling in three times, I finally got to speak with a representative who told me to vote by provisional ballot. Now, Georgia Secretary of State's website states that about provisional ballots. If the elector is a first-time registrant by mail who did not provide one of the acceptable forms of ID at the time of registration, this voter must show proper identification. If the elector is unable to show identification at the time of voting, they may vote by a provisional ballot, which will be counted only if the voter presents identification within the 2-day period following the election. So I presented the acceptable identification, and my information was in the Secretary of State system. Yet, my polling place will still not allow me to cast a regular ballot. So to me, this seemed to be a recurring issue because at approximately 1 p.m., the polling precinct at Morehouse had ran out of provisional ballots due to so many students being forced to cast them. This lasted till about 3 p.m. We were being denied our right to vote. So I spoke with Ms. Erica Davis, the communication director of Fulton County Government, and she said herself she didn't know why I wasn't in the system. She could not promise me that I would be in the polls, or that I would be in before polls closed, again advising me to vote by provisional ballot. As a first-time presidential voter, I refused to accept anything less than a full vote, when all should have been in order. I wanted my vote counted then, not later. Unfortunately, I was not able to vote by the regular method, and approximately 4:30 p.m., I voted by a provisional ballot. By the end of the day, over 11,000 Fulton County residents voted by provisional ballot. 696 is the total amount of votes casted at the precinct. Total number of students that casted provisional ballots was 174, making up 25% of the Morehouse polling precinct, therefore. We requested that the county send officials to locate students. It was not an easy effort, and we created a solution to help. Fulton County representative showed up late. Now, the news reported that all provisional ballots had to be counted by that Friday, and Fulton County would wait until Friday to start counting. To date, I still don't know if my vote was counted or if it was thrown out. It wasn't until the following semester that I received a card from Fulton County informing me that my polling precinct was indeed at Morehouse College. Fulton County Commissioner William Edwards said there were no expectations amongst the constituents that everything would be perfect. I asked, why not? Interim Elections Director Sharon Mitchell said that she believed things went rather smoothly and that they kept their promise. Ms. Robertson, the poll manager, never informed students what they needed to comply with or about the volunteers that offered to take voters to their respective polling places. What type of message do we send when you've done everything right and are still denied the opportunity to be a part of democracy? And that's why the youth here in Georgia are fighting for things such as election day registration and online registration. Thank you.
Ronnie, that was incredible. And just to add a little bit of data to back up Ronnie's story, Fulton County ranked third worst in our analysis on the rate of provisional ballots cast. It also ranked eighth worst in the absentee ballot rejection rate. So Ronnie's story is a great example of how what happened on the ground is supported by the numbers, and we're hoping that these numbers can also guide people and guide advocates on the ground to identifying where other problem spots are. So Ronnie, thank you so much for your story. Helen, thank you so much for that information, and we will now open up for questions. I believe the operator can explain how people can get in the queue.
And if you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Just a reminder, if you're joining us via speakerphone today, make sure your mute function is turned off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star 1 for your questions. And we'll pause for a moment. And I have no questions at this time, but just a quick reminder to the audience, star 1 if you have a question.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Yeah, I have no questions at this time.
Great. Well, I wanted to thank everyone. I guess, you know, we're so informative that, you know, we don't have any questions. That's excellent. I wanted to thank everyone for taking the time to get on this call. To Helen and Ronnie, again, another thank you. If anyone has any follow-up, Maddie, you want to jump on and give some contact information?
Sure. If anyone does have any questions, they can follow up with us by emailing me at mmeth@americanprogressaction.org, or you can reach me by phone at 202-741-6277, and you can find the report on our website, americanprogressaction.org. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us.